integrity. That's called courage.
Free up your mind. Use your imagination.
All you need to know is I'll get you there.
Learning.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.
Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Our guests are our students. Opinionated, daring, and ridiculously smart. They ask tough questions about life and about learning. This podcast is by them and for them.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us for the 18th episode of the Open House Podcast. I think there has never been a moment in time when it has been more important to talk about body positivity. Social media is constantly bombarding us with edited pictures and people looking their absolute best, which means that we do have certain expectations of what we would look like, and it puts certain pressure to look a certain way. We are talking today about body positivity for women. One of our first episodes was body positivity for boys, and we realized that it's just as important an issue for boys. But today, for this conversation, we limit ourselves to talking about what it means for girls and what it means for women. We have two student speakers today, Mayurakshi Sarkar, who is a student at Calcutta International School, and Niharika Verma, a student at Leelavati Bai Poddar High School from Bombay. In different capacities, Mayurakshi and Niharika have been like open house students as well. My first question to you guys is really about this pressure, right, to look a certain way. Where does it come from? Does it come from social media, or does it come from comments by friends or family members?
Personally, for me, it's come from the pop culture images I've seen. It starts off with the Barbie for me.
Yeah.
And I never saw a Barbie that looked anything close to me. She was white, she was slim, and she was tall. And there was absolutely no representation. I do believe my parents sort of made the effort to look for a Barbie that looked a little closer to maybe my complexion to start with. And that was not something I found. If we start with the fairy tales I've read, they were all these perfect looking women who were white, slim, tall, beautiful, and drew validation from the male attention they were getting. So I sort of realized that, you know, my worth will always be measured with the male attention I'm being given and how closely I fit the mold that I'm seeing. As I grew up, the models I see on the ramp, the clothes I want to fit into, I think I derive most of my, you know, pressure to fit into that mold from there. I don't believe it's come a whole lot from social media. For me, it's social media has been the antidote. It's helped me look at people who've recorded their journey on Instagram through, you know, hating themselves and through onto a journey of self-love.
So for me, it's quite the opposite. Mine actually came from social media. I was never really concerned about my body type or anything before that, or anything of somewhat related to that before grade 9. But as soon as I joined Instagram, I started seeing all these influencers, you know, with their perfect hair, the flawless skin, perfect bodies, that hourglass figure. I didn't even know what hourglass meant before joining Instagram. So I think it sort of came from it, and where I was like, okay, I want to look like them, I want to be like them, you know. And I couldn't post a picture without, you know, without just having everyone's opinion about it. Like, to me, my opinion didn't matter. It's what about other people thought about my picture. And, you know, using these filters, never really posted a picture without filters. And I think it came more or less from social media, because other than that, I never knew about, like, I was never concerned about my body type before joining Instagram.
So that's very interesting, Niharika, because a lot of influencers do sort of like talk a lot about body positivity, right? You hear a Komal Pandey talking about body positivity, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, she's really, really skinny and she has a body that people aspire for. So do they actually, do influencers help, or do they actually make it go the other way? Like, do they worsen the situation?
See, I'm glad that they're talking about such stuff. They're like, you know, they're using their platform to talk about this and spread awareness. But then again, it's just that they're working out every day and they're maintaining their bodies. You should be healthy. And I think, but it matter. It it varies from person to person. Body positivity is inclusive of all body types, right? It's not just limited to one body type. So I think it's okay for them to be talking about it, even if they don't fit into that category, because at least they're using their platform to spread awareness about it.
Hmm. What about you, Mayurakshi?
Social media has actually been something that saved me. Till I was on Instagram or had an access to a phone every day where I could go on the internet and look at people who've recorded their journey and spoken about it, you know, on a large scale. And I understand all these influencers, you know, who sort of look like the models that we aspire to be. I just wish there were some more people who looked a little closer to me, who had my complexion, who had fat rolls and cellulite and all of those things, which is, you know, normal bodies, you know, usual bodies. And I just wish I saw a little more of that. And Instagram's helped me with that, so to say. Social media, I see more and more people claiming spaces as theirs. You know, I've always stopped myself from activities and decided that I didn't have the body to participate in the swim team. Even if I enjoyed that activity, I would just decide that, you know, I didn't fit into that. I couldn't possibly carry a swimsuit. I used to be on the basketball team and I liked the sport. I enjoyed the sport, but people would take one look and decide that I was not, you know, I didn't fit into the mold, and they decided what health looked like. And I think being on Instagram, seeing teenagers, even if it's their struggle, even if they've not found a solution yet, just talking about the fact that they've struggled too, it sort of helps you find solace. That, okay, even if I don't have a solution, at least I'm not alone. At least there are other people going through this and I'm part of a community which I can rely on or look for, you know, look to for advice.
I think like Mayurakshi said, there's this huge misconception that people think that weight is synonymous to health when it's actually not, right? So being thin doesn't necessarily mean that you're weak, and being fat doesn't necessarily mean that you're strong, right? It depends on your medical reports. It depends on how you work out and all that stuff. So that's a very good point.
Yeah. No, I think what you said, Mayurakshi, I'm glad that you do actually feel this way, because a lot of times we do sort of make social media this villain. I think in very recent context, when like everyone was sort of scrambling for hospital beds and oxygen cylinders, it did like sort of like social media really came to the rescue, right? And amplifying. And just the fact that it gives people a space to just share their stories and control their own like narrative, put it out there. I think that's like very, very empowering.
And since it's so hard for people who do not fit into that mold to claim spaces in the real world, let's say runways or swim teams or athlete spaces, I think it's social media provides a beautiful space for you to claim space that is yours, to take up space, to assert your decisions, to represent a diverse range of body types. It helped me embrace diverse role models. And that's something I think we should actively be doing. Right. If you think all your role models have more than 3-4 things in common, you need to be looking a little wider than that.
Yeah. You know, the next question is one that is like very close to my heart. When I was like in school, I think I struggled a lot with my skin color. And I want to ask you guys, are we still like obsessed with fair skin? Are we still there? Have we sort of like grown, or what is the attitude?
I feel like as Indians, we're just inclined to blame this on colonialism, but I don't think that's the case. This comes from prejudiced Indian minds. This has absolutely nothing to do with colonialism. That's just a convenient way to shift the blame.
It's also been more than 70 years. So if we are still stuck there, it's our fault now.
It's a little bit exactly. We need to look a little within now. We blame the British. They did wrong things. We've established that. Now...
Yeah. What about you, Neharika?
So, definitely. I don't think fair skin is something that people chase anymore. I don't think they do, because at least from what I've seen around myself. But yeah, there's definitely a section of the society that still do. Like, a lot of people, you know, you still you still read the newspaper, you still read, come across those ads which say looking for a fair, beautiful, tall girl.
Mm.
Which is, again, like Mayurakshi said, it's not colonialism, it's we've got ourselves to blame.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's a very wide net, right? These matrimonial ads. In your own daily life, like at school or at home, have you heard like stuff like this? For example, I think when we were growing up, I think my mom used to have a clinic right under our house on the ground floor. So I must have gone in and said, hey, I'm going for tennis. And one of her patients actually said, oh, like your daughters play and all, but they'll get really tanned. And hey, you know what? They should just be at home. And my mom's like, you know what? I'm not doing that. My kids better play a sport. And it like was at home. So have you sort of like seen this happen around you?
Okay, so you can go first if you want. All right, so for me, I don't remember this happening to me, but that's what my mom told me. But apparently one of my relatives, distant relatives, so you know how young kids are, mothers try and involve kids into each and every activity that there is so that they find their interest. So I used to go for swimming, and naturally if you go for swimming, you get tanned, right? That's a normal thing. But one of my relatives came home and they asked my mom, why are you sending her to swim? And you know, you shouldn't. So my mom's like, up swimming be there. So that's definitely there. But I don't think as I've grown up, I've ever heard someone comment about my skin color.
Mayurakshi?
I've had a sort of a different experience. Yes, I've not experienced it as much personally, but I definitely see it happening in terrible ways. Again, with the brand images I'm consuming, I'll just take Fair and Lovely for an example. It's insane to me. Till a few years back, this was something that, you know, all of us needed to have in our homes. Skincare, since skincare videos and that's such a raging trend now, that's just being advertised as, you know, fair skin. Yeah. That's the underlying tagline. That we're going to disguise it as skincare and you know, sell you fair skin. I do find that it is still an issue, fair skin, and you know, and the convenient way of blaming it on colonialism. I do not think that's the case. I still think we're very much after fair skin, and
yeah.
I'll just take the Indian film industry.
I don't think the Gen Z there, but definitely other section. Not everyone, but definitely, I think the Gen Z, I don't think they are chasing fair skin, but different sections of the society still are.
Yeah, but I think they're also being pressurized to believing that that is the most superior skin color you can have. I do feel that's happening, because I'll just take, like I said, you know, when we were talking before, I told you I love films. And I'll just take the Indian film industry, for example, just to start with the Indian film industry. Apparently, all films with dusky heroines are art cinema.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I don't see dusky people in mainstream stuff. With your loud music and the hero doing ridiculous nonsense. Why? I want to see some dusky people looking closer to my complexion on the screen, having glamorous stuff happen to them. Yeah. Apparently, all of them with dusky heroines or dusky heroes are art cinema.
I actually, you know, I'm with you on that one, Mayurakshi, because and I have no proof of this, I have no evidence of this, but I have observed that Deepika Padukone, from when she entered the film industry to now, her skin color really seems to have changed, right? And me and my friend have a theory that she's gotten surgery done. And there is, like, I've Googled this. There is actually surgery to lighten your skin color. And I'm like, hey, there was this one actress who, you know, didn't have fair skin. And she also felt like she needed to go through skin lightening surgery. And I feel personally betrayed, right? that she went for this. I don't know that she did. My theory is that she did. But I do feel like betrayed. I said, hey, like have some courage, right? And strike it loud on your own.
When we talk about body positivity, some people mistake it for the fact that we're saying that people don't have the right to change their bodies or want or desire a different body. That's not what we're trying to say. If you want to change your body, that's your call. The bottom line of the situation is you shouldn't feel pressured into doing so.
It's
your body, you decide what to do with it. We're not trying to say that you don't have the right to change your body. That can mean tattoos, weight loss, hair color, any of those things. We're not trying to say don't change your body. We're just saying don't feel pressured to fit into a certain mold.
Speaking of actually hair, I think that's quite a sensitive topic still. Is there a sense of shame around body hair and facial hair? And how do you personally, I think, feel about it? Do you find it, I don't know, disgusting, which is also a result of conditioning, right? You've been made to feel that way.
I think people are generally, I think there's definitely shame around body hair everywhere because, I mean, it's your call because some people find it unhygienic, but that doesn't mean that body hair should turn into some of your biggest insecurity. Because it's completely normal, it's very normal, everyone has it, and you just need to learn how to embrace it. If you're not comfortable with it, that's your personal call. Some people find it unhygienic, that's their opinion, and some people don't really care about it. But the stigma around body hair, it's definitely still there.
Like Niharika said, I also think this has to do with embedded patriarchy. Because this is somehow, this is not a problem with men. I love how men are just allowed to exist. And I know I shouldn't feel angry, but I feel almost angry that you're allowed to exist. And every time before I can decide, it's scorching hot. I want to wear something short, but unless you've waxed or shaved, or you've completely gotten rid of every ounce of natural existence, you're not allowed to step out. And not only just body hair, I feel like a lot of people think that short hair or, sort of undermines your femininity or how you can identify as a female. And I had hair till my ear, and I really hated it because I needed to chop it off. I hated taking care of it. And then I thought it was fine. I didn't think too much of it. Till I got told by countless relatives that I wouldn't look good in anything considered feminine. What is anything that is considered feminine? To say, your churidars or your Indian wear or something, bright for that matter. Mm. Why does that, sort of make me any less of a woman?
I think the Indian society, they focus more on what feminine is to them. It's more about the physical aspects than the person's true nature and character, how they are. And, they just focus on, short hair, body hair and all that stuff. But that's just the problem, right?
So, I actually used to have a pixie back in college. Me and another friend of mine, a very close friend, she also had a pixie. And there was a time we'd gone out to watch a film and we were going to the loo. And someone stopped the both of us from the back, saying, "What are you doing going to the girls' washroom?" And it was winter, so we were all in jackets. So our clothes also sort of didn't give it away. And from our hair, they just assumed that we were boys going into a girls' washroom. And at the time, I found it obviously quite amusing. But it's such a big deal, right, around hair, the length of your hair, and what is considered feminine and what is not. It's quite ridiculous. I think short hair looks just really, really sexy.
I have so many friends who are just being pressured by angry mothers to maintain long hair and just keep growing it on and on. And they've mentioned countless times they hate it and they want to chop it off or at least keep getting trims. I don't know if it's superstition or prejudice or what it is. Frankly, stupidity. But it's insane.
Both of you are in school. I know Calcutta International School is a co-ed school. Is Leelavati by Poddar also a co-ed school?
Yes, it's co-ed.
Okay, so tell me something. Does a co-ed environment help the cause of body positivity? Or does it actually make it worse?
I think
I love how both of us are pausing before that answer.
Yeah, it's not an easy one. It's not an easy one. It can go both ways.
I think it helps because, you know, boys don't really, they aren't really concerned with the looks. I mean, they are, but okay, that's...
boys are these?
No, where are they?
Where are these boys? Where have you been hiding them, Niharika?
No, like, they don't like point, they don't really, I mean, at least from what I have seen, the ones that I hang out with, obviously they're obsessed with how they look, but they don't care a lot about what others like about, like, you know, they don't discuss people dusre logo ka baatein, matlab they're obsessed with themselves, how they look, how what they wear and brands and stuff, but they don't really pay more attention to, you know, you getting fatter. But like girls, they notice every small detail. And you know, they start gossiping about it. So I think, you know, oh my god, she's getting so many pimples, or she's getting so many acne. That doesn't.
So you think that does happen? That conversation does happen or doesn't?
It does. It definitely does with girls, but not as much with boys. It happens, but not as much. So I think it helps to some extent.
So you're saying girls actually tend to judge other girls more than boys do?
At least from my experience, yes. But yeah.
What about you, Mayur? Actually, you've been thinking hard.
Yeah, I've had a polar opposite experience, actually. In my experience, I've realized as women, we're our biggest critics. We don't really need someone else to come and do the damage. We'll probably scrutinize every flaw there is in our body, or what we consider to be a flaw. We don't need the boys to come and tell us. Yes, there is one thing that we're taught to measure our worth and derive validation from the male attention that we're getting. But I've had some incredible guy friends, and I realize this, that they're not as concerned. For them, it's irrelevant, frankly. You know, when we all started getting our periods, and the girls would huddle in a corner and we'd have code names for it. And, you know, as we grew up and the boys started, you know, learning about it in school through academics, they didn't care as much. They were pretty open about it. They had conversations about it. And maybe that's the benefit of a co-ed school.
Exactly, that's what I was talking about, and I
realized that, as you know, as menstruators, we failed to normalize it for them.
Yeah.
And you know, they came and they were super understanding, and we'd snap at them. I've had guy friends who have snapped at that, leave me alone, and you know, they'd be very, very understanding. Yes,
these are some amazing boys you are talking to.
I've had some incredible guy friends who've been. And we have a super small class. We have 20 people in a class. So we'd all be pretty tight-knit. And I'd have, you know, I had this friend called Ankit who would, you know, who would be super patient with me. And every time I snapped at him when I was on my periods. And we've had some very understanding boys. Definitely, we don't need them to come and do the damage. We probably criticize, and like Niharika said, that, you know, girls judging each other more, I think that's come from prejudice, that we've always been told that girls have too much drama and you shouldn't be friends. So I think we've all had a journey to craving girl friendships. Yeah. Now I have some incredible girl friends, but then I think we've all grown up trying to be friends with more of the boys because we were told that girls have too much drama and you need to avoid them, and they're judgy and they gossip a lot. And they have a lot of drama. We were told this, very frankly. And every movie we watch represents that.
Yeah.
I've had some incredible girl friendships, and we aggressively lift each other up. It's almost aggressive how much we love each other.
Yeah. No, I think my experience has been similar. I also went to a co-ed school, and I grew up in Delhi, and it was like incredibly hot, right, during the summer. 40 degrees Celsius, you're sweating, and it's impossible to look good. Impossible to look good in school. So you just like become okay with looking like shit. And at that point, you don't care whether, you know, there's a cute boy in class. You can't help it. I think you just become okay with that. What do you think, guys, of like brands and the body positivity bandwagon? Like, is it genuine? Or do you just find it like superficial at this point?
I don't think they're solving the problem. It's a very nice thing for brands to come out and say, yeah, all body sizes are amazing and we accept, which is a sweet thing of you to say, but what are you doing to solve the problems? Any of your models, are any of your models plus sized? Are any of them of color? Do any of them have fat rolls? Do any of them have cellulite? I understand that's a sweet thing for you to say. What are you doing to solve the problem? None of your clothes will probably fit the average Indian woman. I just think you need to, if you're going to, don't take up space that's not meant for you. Anyway, people of size are, you know, constantly scared and, you know, shunned out of places because they don't fit a mold, and people will just have a look at them and decide whether they're fit enough to be an athlete, whether they're fit enough to be a dancer, whether they're fit enough to be a model. Do not take up space. I'm glad that brands are doing it. And secondly, with brands, you know, asserting this body positivity movement, the term plus size is frankly offensive to me. It's don't pretend like you're this positive person by using the word plus size. Plus size is an isolating term. It has terrible connotations. You're basically, it's labeling, and it's not your job to do. Leave us alone. We'll decide what size fits us. The word plus size is, brands, you know, more and more are thinking that we'll use the word plus size and run this pretentious woke campaign. You're not. We can see through it. Your clothes don't go above size 12. That's not plus size. And don't call it plus size. It's labeling and it's isolating and it's rude.
Yeah. No, actually, I never looked at it that way. And what is plus size, right? I mean, if you're calling like 8 plus size, 10 a plus size, like then the game, then we've lost, essentially.
And you're essentially capitalizing on that. You're capitalizing on insecurities by calling it plus size. I don't want you to label me. I'll figure that out. Just because I fit into a size 16 of your brand, you don't get to label whether I'm plus sized or not. Mind your business.
Yeah,
definitely. And I think I think some of the brands are stepping in. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard about this model, Ashley Graham.
She was the first to call the word plus size isolating. And then I think a string of social media movements began.
Yeah. So she is definitely one of the first plus sized models that they supposedly call them. But Lizzo, she's there. She's an absolute icon. She's a role model to so many women out there who are struggling with their insecurities, who are struggling with body, just learning how to accept themselves, learning how to love themselves. And her songs, if you Good as Hell, My Skin, they are such good songs. And they, like, truly, you know, if someone who's going through, you know, is insecure, just learning how to accept themselves, they really hit different to those people, those kind of people. And you know, I think she's an absolute icon, and her self-confidence, the way she talks, the way she walks, the way she dresses is to die for.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of icons, like who else would you look up to when you think of body positivity? Like, I think Sai Pallavi is, who's a actress here in South India. She's a badass, right? Like, she has straight up refused to do work where they've said, hey, we'll cover up your acne and we'll cover up the marks on your cheeks from acne. And she just said, hey, I'm not doing this ad or I'm not doing this film. Deal with it. And I think that's really, like, brave. For you guys, who are these people?
As I said, from social media, I would derive a lot of my confidence looking at these icons who've sort of recorded their journey through Instagram, but after a point that seemed too far away to see or touch, it just seemed too far away to make it tangible to me. I started, you know, I look up to a lot of my friends who, and the best part about looking up to people around you is they, like you, falter. They're not there yet. They're not, you know, like, for example, she mentioned Lizzo. If I see Lizzo's page, just her page, you know, if I don't hear her interviews, I'll assume this woman's made it. She's completely happy with her body and has no qualms. But once you start reading, you know, her lyrics, her, you know, interviews, you'll realize that despite oozing that confidence, she struggles a lot. It's helped me to look at women around me because I could see them faltering, like me. And it's comforting to see that they have their bad days, and that's not what defines their movement, their journey. Yeah, the bad days are there and they move on, and sometimes those bad days are more prolonged than others. But they're faltering and they're picking themselves up. And it helps for me to look at my girlfriends around me.
Yeah. Same for me. I think my friends are like the biggest supporters I have with myself. And they're there for me no matter what, no matter... They've been with me since forever. They've seen who I am. They've seen my flaws. And they accept me for who I am. And they are helping me to accept myself for who I am and start loving myself.
Hmm. Yeah, that's... I think after school, I went to an all-girls college. And like for me, that was my era of girlfriends. And I think like just deriving sort of that positivity from them and just friends being your like biggest cheerleaders. I think that's unparalleled, genuinely.
But I think even Niharika would agree that we faltered with this friendship quite a bit of times before we found the right ones. I'd have friends, you know, back in the day, and I'd wear something and I'd say, do I look fat in it? And he'd say, no, you look so beautiful. I said, I didn't say I looked ugly. I asked if I looked fat. They're not the same things. I know I'm beautiful. I didn't ask if I was ugly. Tell me if I'm looking fat at the top. And they just assumed there was the same things. And I didn't get it till a lot after. That they were saying, no, you look beautiful. I was like, and then now I've just come to know, yeah, I know. Now that's my standard response. Mujhe pata hai. Tell me, do I look fat in it? And it took me so much time to get those friends right who would let me feel the bad days also. Just be there. I don't need them to motivate and counsel me out of it. Just listen sometimes.
Yeah. Guys, this is like this next question is genuinely a tough one, and I don't think there's a right answer to this. But where is the line between body positivity and being unhealthy? And do you think that some people who do like speak of body positivity may just be glorifying being unhealthy?
I think the line between body positivity and glorifying obesity, it's like quite, it's a thin line and it's quite blurred, honestly, because body positivity is all about loving yourself, accepting who you are, no matter you're curvy, thin, muscular, or anything in between. But then there's again something like, okay, your body positivity you shouldn't be pressured into fit into a certain mold, like the ideal body type. But again, there's this thing that you can't abuse your body and destroy your body by living a sedentary lifestyle, just not exercising ever, always having junk food, and just, you know, harming your body, because you get to know when you're feeling you're not feeling well. And I think it's just, and if someone points out that, you know, you are getting a little fat or you are gaining weight, you can't put it as body shame, because, you know, you have been living that lifestyle. You are the one to blame.
I think of course, like there are certain people in your life who you do sort of give the permission to make like these comments and just be like, you know what, get your shit together. I think there are some people you just don't want commenting, right, about your body. I remember a time when I met a like friend and he said, hey, Sudhika, you've lost weight. And I'm like, I didn't ask you. Like,
precisely.
I said, I'm sorry, like, I didn't ask you. I don't even want this compliment. Like, I don't think of it as a compliment, because I don't think like I needed to lose weight to begin with. It happened because it happened. Like, so I think there are some people who do like your mom saying, hey, you know what, I think like you need to lose weight. Maybe different thing if that person is like somebody you trust. If it's not, then I think genuinely it's crossing a line.
I have a little different views than Niharika here, simply because I think there's a big fat line. I don't think the lines are blurred here between glorifying obesity and body positivity. There is a big fat line. Because secondly, if someone's telling you if you know you need to lose some weight or you've gotten really fat, that's an unsolicited comment. Don't make any. Even if you think it's a compliment, don't make it. I don't ask you. No one in my life has permission to do that. Not even me. I will not pass that answer, you know. I will not compliment something I can't control about myself. I will not compliment, let's say, the color of my skin or the color of my eyes or the texture of my hair. I will not compliment these things, nor will I criticize it. If my mom has to tell me that, you know, she has to make it abundantly clear before she begins the sentence that this is about my health and has nothing to do with my weight, my outer appearance. The sentence needs to start with, there are certain health risks associated with the lifestyle you're living. You do not know. So, you know, let's say a relative comes up, maybe with the purest of intentions, and says that, you know, you need to lose a little weight. You don't know. If we're talking about body positivity about women, right from the age of 14, there are a host of hormonal issues that affect you. For me, I'll tell, I got diagnosed with endometriosis 2 months back, which is basically a condition where your blood doesn't, after periods, your blood doesn't get absorbed into your body. It's a defect. One in every 150 women have it. And there's basically no cure. I asked the doctor, how do I fix it? He said, you can't. Simple, eh? You can't. Now, you don't know how hard it is for me to lose weight or what my journey has been or what it might trigger in me. If someone said that, you know, you've lost weight, maybe you have an eating disorder. Maybe you have insecurities attached with it. It may trigger terrible things. And, you know, I've had those, and I've never spoken about the fact that I have endometriosis because I've suffered for it for 2 years. And I was in and out of more hospitals than I could count. No doctor could frankly tell me. And most, you know, I've seen it in the medical industry more than ever that they would fat shame you. It would always be about, you know, have you eaten something, or it's the weight, you know, your weight is not being able to take your period. Still, finally, 2 months back, a doctor could tell me what was wrong. And it's incredibly hard because, you know, I have, you know, friends who suffer from thyroid, PCOD. And just by disguising it as a health advice, you do not get to pass. Or A is body shaming. Second, pass an unsolicited comment. You do not know my journey. You know, you don't know what it might trigger. If you have health advice to give out of genuine concern, first, don't give it unless you're very close to that person. Secondly, if you're giving it, you need to be abundantly clear from the start that this is completely about your health and it's coming out of a place of concern. And ask the person, are you okay if I, you know, say something? You don't know what it's going to trigger. You never know if it triggers a panic attack or what insecurities it might bring up. Yeah. I've had too many people in my life. I'm not going to name the relative because I think parents, other family members, just in case they watch this, I had a relative come over and I was having chips, okay? And I was having a bowl of chips and I was not really concerned about what it might look like. And then just 10 minutes after the relative left my house, I got a video of a scientific experiment being conducted on banana chips and how they have 100 drops of oil. Some absolute rubbish WhatsApp forward. None of this is true, but it was sent to me. And with no accompanying text. Now I can't block the person because they will find out. Usually I would. Just like, Maniki, you? No, stay away.
Yeah.
Disguising it as a health advice and you're just fat shaving someone. That is what it is.
The thing is, don't like Mayurakshi said, don't worry about the numbers on your weighing scale. But I think to some extent, you need to worry about the numbers on your medical report. Because, you know, if those numbers are clear, then if anyone tells you that you are not beautiful or if anyone ever passes unsolicited comments, then just tell them mind your own business, right? But then to some extent, you do need to care about the numbers on your medical report.
Yeah.
That's the point of body positivity is just, the bottom line of this entire thing is, be comfortable in your skin and it's your body. You're free to change it if you want to. Don't feel pressurized into it. Certainly don't let anyone bully you into it.
Guys, I mean, you know, both of you, like Mayur, actually, you especially said that, hey, there's a big fat line, like, right, between positivity and being unhealthy. Both of you sort of like spoke of Lizzo. How do you see that? Like, Lizzo is this body positivity icon. Do you not see her like as somebody who's unhealthy also?
Health, that's my thing. That people, okay, I don't know, like Niharika said, I don't know the numbers on her medical report, right? There are going to be people who just want to look at her and assume, okay, she has X number of fat rolls or this much cellulite or blah, 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 and assume she's unhealthy. If five women ate and worked out the same, they ate the same amount and worked out the same, they would still look different.
Yes,
because of hormones, genes, blah, 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 10 other things, right? You cannot. Health, there is absolutely no way for health to look the same on people. You cannot look at them and assume whether they're healthy or whether they're fit or not. Lizzo, like you mentioned, if you go through her Instagram page, more than music, it's about workout videos, right? She has so many workout videos and where she's working out, she's motivating others to do it. But does that mean she's not healing her skin or she's glorifying obesity? No, she's saying, I love my skin, but I want to make these changes. I want to improve myself and I'm working out. I'm going to work out utna zyada only. She's doing these heavy lifting. Page is full of that. Like every week, if we go onto her page, we'll see workout videos. Working with different people. Exactly. I don't think she's glorifying obesity by a long shot. And I don't think most body positive workers are. It's gotten so bad that I think that's the way out. Radical, aggressive self-love and body positivity.
Exactly, that's her call. Because honestly, I forgot what I had in mind.
But this was actually one of the things that when we were sort of, when the team at Open House was discussing like body positivity and hey, we're doing this podcast. One of the questions that came up was, how does really one create awareness without shouting it from the rooftops? Is there another way? Or do you just like, you just got to shout it till things change?
I would say start by taking up as much space as you can. Swim teams, basketball, football, dancing. You know, do not shy away from participating in the talent show because you look a certain way. Do not excuse yourself from the debate competition, even though you're excellent at speaking, but you do not want to wear a white shirt and go up on stage. Do not do that. Take up space. Take up so much space. Make sure if there's a talent show in school, people see a diverse range of color, shapes, and sizes. Keep ensuring that. I think that would be my first step to start is I couldn't do that for such a large part of my life. I would just give up space to other people. No, I think you'd be more fit for it. And I'd make excuses to myself. No, I was equally qualified. I was more qualified. And I didn't take it because I was too shy to be, you know, seen. Don't be afraid to be seen.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that easy for everyone because I can't just come up here and say that, okay, I love myself, I love my body, because I'm still dealing with it. I'm still insecure and I'm still learning how to deal with it. But then, you know, when you start becoming insecure about your body fat, your stretch marks or things of that sort, then you think a lot about what other people will think of you and that affects you, which leads you to not participating in stuff, right? So I think overcoming that, you need to, be yourself. You need to find people who accept you for who you are, you know, hang out with them, talk to them about your insecurities. And then maybe when you reach a level where you are comfortable with certain amount of people, then go ahead and participate in more events and just be yourself.
I would go up on stage and say exactly those things. I'm dealing with it. I am super insecure. I have terrible days. It sparks terrible anxiety attacks. Say those things.
Yeah.
There's, you know, if of course it's not me and Niharika for that example. We're not there yet. We're still figuring out how to do that. It's easier for us to sit here and say, "Haan, ye karna chahiye." We're still figuring it out. And you know, this helps, this conversation. I'm sure at least one other person is going to hear this and be like, okay, these two are struggling as well. They're not there yet. You spoke about it. You said that you're not there yet. We're all figuring. Nothing wrong with that.
I think what helps is you look around you, not on social media, not like in a magazine, but you look around you and you find people who have like imperfect bodies, right? I may have my weight sort of figured out, but I may be like conscious about my height. And it could just be something that it's a flaw that I see in myself, and like someone else looks at me and be like, you know what, this girl has it figured out. I think it helps to look around and to get some perspective. There's also a Japanese actually concept. It's a word called kinskuroi, which is broken pottery, and they do sort of like mend it, and they do see the beauty in those imperfections in broken pottery. And I think like that's a beautiful metaphor for body positivity as well, to sort of accept the imperfections, change what you can and if you want to, and then accept, I think, the rest.
And also, I think, understand that there is no one perfect. There can't be one perfect.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, guys? I'm out of questions, and I think this has really been a lovely conversation. Any final thoughts?
We're not there yet, like you were trying to figure it out. Yeah. We're gonna keep trying. Some days are worse than others. Surround yourself with the right people. Embrace a diverse role model. Make sure this falls apart. You're learning from everyone else. Look up to people who are flawed. And one thumb rule that's really helped me is I don't criticize or compliment things that I can't control in myself or in others. If you can't control it, it's not for you to compliment or criticize. It's just for you to love.
Definitely. I think I have the same message, because just be comfortable in your own skin. One day you're going to get there. One day you're going to be happy. You're going to accept your body for what it is. Self-love is very important. And I think body positivity should be normalized to some extent, where, you know, you don't have to exclusively go and talk about it. It should be a part of your upbringing. And I hope that does happen someday. And I know it will. But yeah, definitely love yourself. Be there for yourself. Surround yourself with people you love and you know.
Thank you so much, Mayurakshi and Niharika. Genuinely, I'm going to repeat something that Mayurakshi said, but I really do hope that this conversation resonates with more people. People who do listen into this feel like they aren't alone. They aren't the only ones struggling. And I really hope that this can be the start of many more conversations that we have at home, with friends, and everywhere else as well. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity.